Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 257, episode 1 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it is Monday, October 3rd, 2022.
You know what time it is.
Spooky season upon us.
A spooky season and also Global Smoothie Day.
Yeah.
National Boyfriend Day, National Techies Day, World Temperance Day. Oh, and also shout out to a Canadian Zeit Gang for making me less ignorant about what Orange Shirt Day was. It was not about just wearing an orange shirt. It's actually to commemorate and honor all of the children who were killed and survivors of residential schools in Canada. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I thought it was Orange Shirt Day. No. A very significant moment. So yes, right. Thank you for all that information.
Shout out to the Canadians. Shout out to smoothies and boyfriends. Come on, guys. Give it up for boyfriends.
Come on,
there.
Y'all.
Come on. Not enough. They don't get enough.
Hey, I don't hear. I can't hear you.
Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hold on. We got a little audiovisual experience here.
Okay.
Not good on pot. Not good on pot. Pot. I'm not good on pot. Pot. All right. That is AKA about how I'm not good on pot. I do badly on pot. It's courtesy of Taring Ski at T-A-R-I-N-G Ski. Yeah. Not good on pot, but I do like to rock. And I'd never seen the Twisted Sister video before today, and I think that is a seminal video for a lot
nice.
Of people. So I feel more part of the zeitgeist already. Glad to be back with you all, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Tell me, why are we so blind to see that dude smoking weed is Miles G? Okay, shout out to Coolio. Rest in peace. I just thought of that one right there because Gangsta's Paradise, we were just talking about it on the last show. Such an important track.
You know, I really didn't realize it really is, I think, the bridge to mainstreaming hip hop for like the rest of just American
people. For so many people. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, everybody knew that.
Iconic. Yeah.
Four quadrant banger. We got a four quadrant banger in the house with Gangster's Paradise. And then, of course, Amish Paradise, which I think they were sampling for that song. Is that right? He was remaking Amish Paradise.
That Coolio, which came first?
Yeah. Who knows? Anyways, Miles, that's a joke I stole from my friend Chris. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian, writer, actor, and podcast host who you can see hosting the monthly comedy show Performance Anxiety. You can hear him on Pod as a Woman, a track-by-track breakdown of Sweetener by Ariana Grande with TDZ favorite Teresa Lee. Welcome back to the show, the hilarious and talented Eli Olsberg!
Eli!
Woo! Oh, fellas, so good to be back with the boys talking about the daily news. It's been too long.
Back with the boys. The boys are back in town.
Absolutely. The fellas are back.
Yes.
In podcast paradise.
What's up? What's up, Eli? What's new? What's new?
Cool. With you? You're right, by the way. That is a bridge. That was like, not only was it a bridge to like mainstreaming, it was like the bridge for the end of the early 90s, because that song came out in 95.
Right.
Right. And then rap completely changed after that. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And we also that video was directed by Anton Fuqua, who went on to do Training Day and lots of, I mean, that was like
Amazing. Yeah. And then F. Gary Gray, who directed Friday and like, you know, Fates of the Furious and shit, he directed the Fantastic Voyage video.
That's right. Yeah. It's crazy how, because back then you could direct videos for like 5 years and live off it for another five.
Right.
And like that's why people are always like, oh, why didn't they cross over to movies? Well, they want to, but also you don't have to at that. Now you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You have to make a movie, a music video, and still pick up a shift at your day job. It's the landscape is completely
got to churn out that content, baby.
That's right.
And sweet tent.
Yeah. Zyke, let me, who's like the last great, like the director who went from music videos to film recently?
I mean, it was the big crossover event for Michelle Pfeiffer fans, I think.
Dude, when she pulled up that chair in the video, I was like, holy shit.
That shit was hilarious.
That shit hilarious, but also very poignant. I was like, that's a moment right there.
Coolio didn't like that idea, apparently. His original vision for that video was like just being shot on like a city street, I think, with like cars and people, like almost like a block party. Mm-hmm. And when the director pitched it to him, he was like, you know what? I trust you. Do what you want to do. And he was very happy with it in retrospect. But at the time, he was like very like iffy about it.
Interesting.
Well, and look where it's at now. It's like that was like the defining video of 95. And
seriously.
You know,
I mean, I went to see that movie in theaters as a teenager based solely off the strength of that song and was disappointed just like everybody else who did the same thing.
Yo, you know what's even wilder? I never seen the movie.
Wow.
Ooh. I mean, that is okay. That's the other thing about that period in the 90s. There were soundtracks that way outsold the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, The Bodyguard was probably one of the exceptions where both like really did huge numbers. But like at the time, I remember the Spawn soundtrack was like a huge deal because it was this collaboration between techno artists and the big rock stars of that era. And the movie, no one gave it. Who still talks about it? You know what I mean? Like, nobody.
Unfortunately.
What was another one? Oh, I don't know if you guys remember. This is a deep cut. Angus. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. When I bring it up, incredible soundtrack. Had like that had the Goo Goo Dolls before they switched from being like a punk band to a pop band.
Mm.
And like Weezer has a deep cut on there that never, I don't think showed up. I think it was specifically for the album. That I could be wrong about. I'm not as big of a Weezer fan as everybody else. But
speaking of Goo Goo Dolls, City of Angels soundtrack really punched above its weight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's another one. It's a huge soundtrack. I think that even went like platinum. Movie.
Soul Food also a soundtrack.
Huge soundtrack. Yeah. There were like Waiting to Exhale, another big soundtrack.
Yeah.
And obviously Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. You know, you had to have that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
gotta have that one. Had to have that one.
That had two soundtracks. That had a sequel.
Yeah, that's right.
They bought out like a second one. They're like, here are more songs from it. The only other time I think that happened after that was The Fast and the Furious. I think two soundtracks came out. There was one with, you know, Ja Rule and like everything that Irv Gotti produced. That was like the original soundtrack. And then they were like, Oh, for those of you who don't like rap, here are the rock songs that we included.
Here are the white songs from Fast and Furious.
Because they were like, oh my God, this movie crossed over too much.
Yeah. Right. That's like a Boogie Nights had two soundtracks too.
That's right. And that's another one. Yeah. What a time, huh, guys?
Dense soundtracks.
The Above the Rim soundtrack also. That was the only movie I saw on the strength of the entire soundtrack. But then
Sunset Park soundtrack too.
Dangerous Minds was the only one that like sold me just off a single song. I was like, well, I'm not doing, like, I am going to see this movie if it's the last thing I do, because that song fucking goes. All right, Eli, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell the listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're talking about the Hurricane Hustle boss at, the Postcard Mania?
Postcard Mania,
just
dude.
The silliest seeming business, but postcards just flying everywhere. Just one of those, you know, money grab booths with postcards just flying in all directions is how I picture that place. But it's actually a very insidious capitalist institution. So we'll talk about that and how it ties into Tucker Carlson and his attempt to blow the lid off Big Hurricane, I guess. They think there's a hurricane conspiracy.
Hurricane Industrial Complex?
That we're all in on. All of that, plenty more. But first, Eli, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
This last thing, you know what? I actually went with it with what was the very last thing I searched. And I searched, how much tofu can you eat in a week?
And
that sounds like a challenge more than a search, but
like out of concern,
right,
or it's like the, or were you challenging Google? You were asking Google, hey, how much tofu can you eat in a week, fam? Because I'm right here.
I've started watching, this always happens about once a year, I'll come across some documentary on like Netflix or one of them where, of course, it's like eat more plant-based, but it's always like a weird thing because I feel like they're always on to something, but then they choose not to back it up with anything. They just get like the biggest celebrity they can get to be like, yeah, I started doing this, because they can obviously afford to just tell a doctor what they need and then they shove the macros in their mouth with a shovel. You know what I mean?
Right,
like it's so easy. And so I'm trying to eat a little healthier. If anyone who listening follows my social media, you know, I post a lot about Raising Cane's and big fried chicken guy, among many other things. So I try to split the difference with that. And I was like, I always feel like when you talk to people about tofu, they're like, well, that's too much soy. And every time I brought it up in conversation, people are like, yeah, it's too much soy. You can't eat that much of it. It's not good for you. And I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't sound right. So I was curious. And it turns out you can eat tofu just pretty much almost every day, according to enough Google.
According to Asians everywhere.
Yeah, right. That's why I was like, is it like Monsanto tofu that I have to avoid? Are they all? So I was like, which tofu, and so that was the last thing I looked up, because that was one of those questions that's just been gnawing at me for years, because it always comes up in conversation that way. People are like, oh, you can't have that much soy. And it turns out it's the soy bean, which is what tofu is.
For sure.
And that's perfectly fine, as opposed to like, I guess, processed soy, or just when it hasn't been cared for the way that tofu has.
I feel like
I'm way behind everyone else. You guys are like, yeah, of course, everyone. That's not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember when people said that, I just used my own anecdotal evidence. So I'm like, well, I feel like my family's been eating tofu in some form nearly every day. Like when I'm in Japan, because it's like in miso soup, you'll have it like, cold, like hiyayako, or like fried agedashi tofu. There's like so many ways to eat it in a given day that I'm like, there's no way it can be bad.
Right. And also, I feel like what really pushed it, the mid-2000s, that like Maxim FHM period where they were like, everyone was like, well, soy is going to give you more estrogen.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the way that's manifested now, obviously, between that and like guys against like seed oils or whatever, it's like incredible stuff.
Right.
But I feel like that's where that came from, because there's guys like on social media that are big for being like, well, there's like one guy who like lives, I think in Costa Rica or something, where he got really popular for being like, oh, I just eat desecrated remains from animal remains. And this, like, it's all, he just literally just eats meat and dairy. It's like the opposite of what every health official has been saying not to do for the last 5 years.
Yeah. I feel like that, guys. The whole soy thing, and soy now being like an adjective for like weak and like unmanly or whatever. Like right. that's just how it's used now. And I feel like I blame, as with most things, including hurricanes, I blame the dairy industry. I think they have a really strong, really strong lobby. Absolutely. That is working at a number of different levels.
They got
it's
to.
Not just the Got Milk ads, folks.
All it took was one fucking dairy guy to eat a tofu-ty cutie. And he's like, boys, we're fucked.
We're in trouble here.
Kids will fucking not know. They're not discerning enough to know that this shit ain't milk.
Right.
We got problems. Tell them it'll make them women or something.
Yeah.
Rely on misogyny to help solve
problems. Yeah.
What's something you think is overrated?
Oh, man. I think when people are like, let people enjoy things, it's like... it ties to something I guess that I've been seeing online a lot lately. You know, that whole shit show with Warner Brothers with Discovery and like, you know, obviously deleting like Batgirl. I'm sure you guys talked about it on here, but all that stuff.
And also and inflated like, subscriber numbers. That's my new favorite.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which sued. Like big shock. Like anything that's streaming is clearly like not, there's no regulation on how they have to report anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know why anyone was like surprised at that, but that's been happening. And then there's people being like, oh, you know, it's somehow that's been co-opted into like an MCU DC argument, you know, like because DC's Warner Brothers and MCU's Disney. And I'm like, you know, neither of you have to, nobody has to log on and defend the Walt Disney Corporation or Time Warner Discovery. They don't have to be defended at all. They don't require it. And it's turned into this weird argument where people, again, keep going back to this thing about let people enjoy things. And, you know, I'm here to say I'm not going to let everybody enjoy everything. I'm going to have to step in. And it's a wake up call.
You got to break it up a little
which
bit.
Which is funny because I'm like sitting here just 2 seconds ago. I was like, as a huge Raising Cane's fan.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, look, I got my Caniac tattoo.
That's right. Yeah,
people who say let people enjoy things rarely let other people enjoy the things that they don't enjoy. They're
that's
rarely
so,
the people who are like,
yeah,
no, you do you, even though I don't like that particular movie.
Right. And like it also creates a weird fan base from like, and I'm going to tread real lightly here because I feel like somebody's going to hear this and call their hives. But I feel like that happens with stuff with movies that are good or even shows that are good, but get like this really rabid fan base. And there are these shows that are like about kindness. They weirdly produce the most.
Ted Lasso. Yeah, Ted Lasso.
That's exactly what I was going towards. Yeah. But you know what? You did it. You took off. You opened the gates. I'm running out with it. Yeah, that and like.
We're Lasso heads here. We're Ted heads. So yeah, we are going to ask you to leave the podcast at this point.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. That's at Eli Olsberg on all the socials.
That is so strange. Like,
sorry, Zach
King,
about that ruffian who just interrupted the show. What an asshole.
It's so funny that Ted Lasso people are, I mean, it makes sense because it's like football coach logic can fix anything. So it makes sense that they would actually end up being somewhat toxic. But
well, yeah, well, Ted Lasso, the people who like, embrace that shit to that level are people who are like, you know what? I'm not going to go to therapy. I can watch Ted Lasso and feel something good from that.
Oh, right. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
And then be like,
it is.
Don't fuck with my Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Like you're going to log on and tell me Ted Lasso is an okay show. Like someone doesn't even say it's bad. They're like, you're going to tell me it's an okay show. Well, I just called the police on your address. They are on their way.
I just swatted
and
you
can take it
motherfucker.
Up with them.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso is my therapist, but. All right, what's something you think is underrated?
Raising Cane's. No, I'm just kidding. Something I think is underrated. Okay, so I think bottled tea in general, like I'm a big iced tea guy. I think bottled tea for the most part, they don't nail it. They just don't get it. It usually tastes really, really processed. I found an incredible bottled tea called Tejava, and it weirdly is such... So you do know, because here's the thing. I feel like when I would show it to people, nobody knew what it was, or they would say like, oh, I see it at Trader Joe's or, you know, Ralph's or something all the time, but I never try it. And someone finally fucking nailed it. I think it's like very, very good, just good black tea. And weirdly, I think because they didn't have like a huge demand, they hit like a 3-month halt during the pandemic. Like they ran out. They couldn't keep up with the demand for like a few months during the pandemic, and they just finally came back. I almost don't want to tell people because I don't want to run out again.
Yeah.
Super underrated brand. Highly recommend it. As somebody who just said, you know, don't support corporate IP again, can't stress enough. Right. When I stand one, I that's an endorsement.
The bottle looks like it hasn't been through the corporate redesign. I don't know if that is...
Dude, that label has been the same for fucking decades.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The 1970s.
Yeah. And I can't speak to their flavor teas. Like, I don't get any of the ones with lemon or berry. I like the same way people can drink like a strong black coffee. I'm that way about strong black tea because it has like the same caffeine.
Right.
But they nailed it right out the park. That's not even a home run. That's literally like out into of the streets. Yeah. out of the park and onto a car in oncoming traffic like that far out.
A lot of people were hurt, actually.
caused a pile up on the 5.
All right. Well, Lasso fans, as much as you can reach out to me and we can, talk shit about Eli, but don't reach out to Eli about Ted Lasso. But if you are to Java Hive, let him know.
Yeah, please.
Let's do that. Build with positivity.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Or to Java, just reach out directly and please send me all the boxes.
Yeah. There's something, my favorite salsa, medium Green Mountain, medium salsa. They just had like a label redesign that, you know how like food stuffs will do like a label redesign that like looks slicker, but I feel like it almost always comes with worse. Like the product gets worse. Like whatever marketing kind of meeting is happening where they're talking about the logo redesign, there is a parallel meeting where they're like, and how do we get less of the chunks of ripe tomatoes in there to like cut costs? So I'm always wary. Like it happened with Tropicana where they like redesigned their thing. They had a good thing
super
going.
Minimal.
Yeah, they just went super minimal and like, I don't know. Like I'm all for design. I have a lot of design.
Just don't
people
fuck with
I
the
like,
inside but, part of it.
Yeah,
you nailed it when you were like, oh, this doesn't look like it had like a corporate redesign. Because I think a lot of these what's happening now, since so many businesses like folded, they're like so many things are getting acquired. And so I feel like specifically for the last like 2 years, probably going into like the next 2 years, so many things are going to look more redesigned. And the more like antiseptic the design looks, the worse it's going to be. That's how you know, like if the logo really, because minimalism is like a thing now, but not in the way that it's intended to be like artistically satisfying, you know, it's just like, well, this is the new look now.
What if Wes Anderson designed our label? What would that look like? Just Helvetica white,
just one
pink on white,
white label with just an orange in the center.
Right. And I think it would be so super pastel heavy and it would have almost like a design where while you're turning it, it's like, it looks like you could just keep turning it and it would keep going like an Ouroboros type
idiots
thing.
Are
you know?
Like, wow.
Exactly.
Like little cartoon mice or,
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, it never stops. There's no conclusion to this story. It just keeps going.
Wow, this is dish soap?
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And
I'm already laughing, dude, because it's
the hurricane hustle lady. Get on that grind.
So last week, Jack, when you were out,
I missed this, man.
I don't know if you listened to the episode, but so we were talking about this CEO of this company called Postcard Mania. They're based in Clearwater, Florida. They're like a postcard marketing company.
Yeah.
And when Hurricane Ian was about to touch land, like, all these people are getting evacuation orders. They're like, please, you got to leave. Like, or if you're going to shelter in place, like, be really, like, please look out for yourself. This is going to be very dangerous. This CEO of the company, like, over a Zoom call and, like, multiple text messages, was basically telling, like, her employees, like, hey, a little fucking hurricane that the media always likes to freak us out about that's probably just going to be nothing isn't going to stop us from ending the quarter strong.
It's not going to stop Postcard Mania.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop friggin' Postcard Mania. I'll tell you that much.
And she said, oh, you're worried about your kids and stuff? You can bring them to work. Bring them to work because our building can withstand Category 5 winds. So you really have no excuse, motherfucker. What are you trying to say now? We will have games and fun things for the kids with like a little balloon emoji. And you're like, okay.
Do you know what? I do want to say one thing. It's pretty close to indefensible. However, I'm from South Florida. The problem is when you get the Florida's always in this weird, I mean, Florida's weird, but Florida is always in this weird place where hurricanes rarely will blanket the whole state. I think it's only happened since I've been alive. I think it literally happened once while I was there in like 2004. Usually what it does is it hits one region because it's either going to the Gulf or it's going to the Carolinas. And so you get all these false alarms about 3 days in. It's great because you usually get a few days off school in September and you get, you know, but and you just usually get some bands and some rain. So what happens is everybody starts turning after a few years. You just get so worn down from that. You turn into this like it ain't going to hit. It's going to get real close
till it hits.
And then it's going to. However, unfortunately, because this woman's like, well, the media is pushing an agenda here that unfortunately takes all that out the door.
right. But I like that. Thank you for the context of like the culture. There's like, yeah, I know we got to do it. And then if watch, it'll probably end up dissipating once it hits land and then we'll be all right. But
I've seen those like pictures from the 80s where people were like, I wrote out Andrew, like writing it on their like wall and spray paint and stuff. Like it's a piece of pride, right?
Yeah, we did. Well, we did. We were there for Andrew. And let me tell you, it sucked. It was not something that like to be like, oh, I rode that out. Whenever you ride something like that out, the hurricane itself is not the problem. That's actually not that scary. Because typically with Andrew in particular, I think it was like overnight. It just hit really hard, really fast. But the thing that sucks is the 2 weeks after where you have no fucking power.
Right,
you,
right.
Gas stations are like, the lines are literally a mile long to get gas. That nobody should ever be proud of surviving that, because it's always a governmental failure. But for some reason, obviously, because things are like individualized, it turns into that. And so that's exactly what happened here, where it's going to be like, well, yeah, we can withstand it. Sure, you can. But what about what happens when you guys have to leave the building?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's also not like the hurricane itself can be bad if you're caught in a storm surge or something like that.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I remember the house we lived in, the thickest tree possible got uprooted. Oof. Nothing's, almost nothing survived. Our backyard, which had like six trees, like I think we were down to two when that was over. Wow. Three. But
that can fall, you know, the tree can go one way or the other and, you know, land on a person.
Well, again, know? That's why it sounds like your home was unsafe, Eli, unlike the 69,000 square foot campus we have in Cartmania, which you could come
That's
into
right.
and we will have fun and games for the kids. And the once like she folded pretty quickly once like media outlets started asking her for like, you know, like,
comments.
is this you?
This
like
you?
On this Zoom call?
Yeah.
Like, are these texts for real? Because we have them from multiple people. And she's like, we obviously care about our employees' safety. We just didn't message it correctly. Mm-hmm. And we clearly didn't want our employees to think that they had to come in when I said a hurricane is no excuse. Our office is built to withstand Cat 5 winds.
Yeah.
That's
using
not
a hurricane opportunistically to create a corporate town is not what I intended to do.
Right. Exactly.
But, yeah.
And
so this, and where's she located?
Clearwater.
Oh, okay. Totally. That tracks. Okay. Anything Naples and north, it's always the west coast of Florida where you get this shit. It's
yeah, because that's where a lot of like the grifty, like right wing, like organizations are all kind of based. They're all clustered kind of in that area, too.
Yeah. And they have like they've tried towns. There's a town there. I think the CEO of Domino's was an investor in a town called Ava Maria, where they don't sell birth control. It's like a very Catholic town. The Church of Scientology is also, I believe,
Maria
in Clearwater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's where I see Tom Cruise's son always hitting like wild ass boat parties, DJing and shit. Down in Clearwater.
Yeah. Oh my God, this is the first I've heard of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, Connor Cruz. Yeah. Shout out Connor, DJ Connor Cruz, his adopted son.
One of our DJs here on the DJs, I guess. We love his work.
But the wild shit is, right, so once this thing happened with Postcard Media, a lot of people were like, I wonder what the corporate culture is really like over there. And I guess someone told Vice, they're like, you should have heard her in April of 2020 when the pandemic just fucking started. On April 11th, 2020, not even a month into the pandemic, she went on a fucking tirade on like a live stream to her employees, where first she starts off by downplaying COVID. Like that's her first spot. I'll play this because you have to also see like her energy, because it's one thing to hear these quotes, but like to witness it all and put it all together, you're like, oh, this is someone who's fully just like, you know, revenue brained. So this is the first part where she's like, y'all are tripping. It's not that bad.
The media being fear mongers and making people way more afraid than they need to be. And what's happening is the politicians, because this is an election
just
year,
start talking to our staff.
Are caving in one by one to the media and making everybody feel like they're going to frickin' die from this thing. And it's not frickin' true. And it's really fucked up that they're scaring everyone. And finally, DeSantis caved. So I want to tell you something else that happened really interesting.
Okay, so
this is before a million people died from.
Yeah, this is April 11th of 2020. The media. So this is her thing. You know, she's clearly getting her news from a very specific side of the aisle. And it's like, this is what they do. Even DeSantis caved. Like, you know, her energy was just like, my fucking hero even fell to this shit. And like. That is just the beginning half, right? And she goes, I want to tell you about another thing that happened. What happens there is this, apparently two of her employees called the cops because they felt the CEO wasn't putting in place proper safety precautions in the office when we're a month into this pandemic and people are beginning to, obviously, like over a million people have perished. And she starts addressing the fucking snitches, basically, that work for her in an even more like aggressive way. So she's like, so I want to tell you about another fucking fun thing that happened, and begins to basically say, Well, just I'll let her take it away.
Something else that happened really interesting. I come out of my growth summit and I walk into Melissa's office and she informs me that two of our staff called the police on us.
I come out of my growth circuit.
Yeah, what the growth? That's like the most fucking business nonsense shit.
Yeah.
What a growth summit, okay?
I come out of my growth summit.
Walk into Melissa's office.
That sounds like she literally had left the Church of Scientology to go, even though she's a DeSantis pusher, which is obviously usually more Christian. That's totally, the growth summit's like a thing where you're like, well, we just finished having at the L. Ron Hubbard Center.
Right.
We had our growth summit. But she also, I love that she keeps going frickin', and you can see in the back, as soon as the kid or whoever that is walks out, she suddenly goes, fucking.
Fucked
she
up.
Completely changes her like cursing, right. Literally times it to like somebody walking out of the room. That's theater, baby. You can't beat that.
She has interesting eyes though that like go dead when she like starts telling a lie in an interesting way where I don't know if it's because she's like drawing on something she saw Tucker Carlson say. And like,
I think it's because she's just regurgitating something she heard.
Yeah.
So it's not much thought
right.
is going
oh, for
into
sure.
it. It's like, I'm just saying a talking point out loud and then she'll get animated when she realizes the injustice of the world.
The overlap between Scientology and like corporate shit like this is real because that's everything is kind of coming together, like the sort of spiritual emptiness of our culture. Like, all we don't have a different humane, like kind of cultural thing to put in the empty hole inside. And so everybody's just rushing in with growth summits and multi-level marketing
right.
schemes are stealing from the world of like cults and, you know, pulling that into corporations. So it's funny that there is that kind of direct line that you can see in this video.
I think part of it too is that, like what you said, they just regurgitate what they heard. So whenever it doesn't happen as often as I wish it did, but you'll see, like, if you ever watch when a conservative talking head meets someone who kind of, like, when they're in the middle of their script and someone interrupts that, they literally melt down in real time. Like, you can watch them lose their complete where right. they're going with it. And then they just start repeating the same thing over and over. So whenever they're asked to, like, cite an example or show something, they completely shut down shop. It's like, it doesn't work. It's very similar to, like, Musk fans, when Elon Musk fans, like when they're big like Tesla heads,
right?
And they're like, oh yeah, the car, you know, that thing with this. Did you guys talk about the Cybertruck yesterday or the day before?
On Trends, we talked about how he was saying like it's going to float now, and we're like, yeah,
right, right. 7,000 pounds. You can like with that, you can get these people who are like longtime Tesla owners, love Elon Musk, and you know they'll say like, oh yeah, it's gonna float, and then you know, of course, they're gonna try it once, and it's gonna sink in like 2 seconds, and they'd be like,
right.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you need to really get across somewhere, get a fucking boat. It's like they immediately yeah. find a way
oh,
to.
Well,
like, it's,
yeah,
not
totally.
It's not intended to go to the ocean. It's just like if you right. need to cross the intercoastal,
goes
you
over
can get,
a
you know
puddle.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the same
yeah.
product, by the way, that he debuted by saying it had unbreakable windows and then promptly breaking yeah. arrows. So.
Which is yeah. wild, too, because imagine your 7,000-pound metal coffin that you're trying to navigate waters with sinks to the bottom and you can't even break the windows open because they figured it out finally
for
that part.
What a claim to make, like, while people are being washed away in hurricane storm surges to be
yeah.
like,
I mean,
our car can float.
Very musky. Yeah. But yeah. let's allow the CEO here to go on, Miss Ganduza herself. She is going to
Ganduza.
Just say, they called the cops on us. You won't believe it.
Let's talk a little bit about karma, okay?
Ooh, big eyes.
Dude, that fucking inhale was absurd.
We are people of goodwill, and I am keeping everybody here employed. If you don't want to work here, ooh. Go home. Okay?
She seems
you're not
mad.
Fired. You can go home. The sheriff came and toured and basically said, you guys are good. Carry on. So whoever the fuck you are.
Wow.
She just did the, I got my eyes on you.
I'm sorry. I just cracked myself up.
Oh,
if you don't like this, if you don't like the way I run this company, get the fuck out.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm just real. What can I tell you? That's just how I feel about it. I love you guys. I really, really do. Such amazing staff, except for those two people. I hate you. No, I don't really hate anybody. You're just not part of this group. You're not really
real.
A true group member.
Yeah.
And you don't belong here. You don't belong
wrong.
Here amongst the rest of us.
Dude, in group, out group, this is total cult shit. You know
yeah.
now? It's
straight
like you're
up.
Not in the in group. Like literally, you're not in the in group. You're in the out group.
Yeah,
you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should probably just quit your job.
You should probably just quit your job.
I mean, shit, you can get all kinds of government stuff for free, so why don't you go do that? I'm completely happy and comfortable and content with my ethics on this.
I bet you are.
And again, the two of you, get out.
Anybody who's like, go get free stuff for the government immediately should have to disclose if they applied for a PPP loan. Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that needs to be legislated. Like, it is insane. Because I know for a fact, I'm like, well, that's a small business owner. You better believe she got in on those PPP loans.
Right.
You know what?
Yeah.
Why don't we just look right now?
Yeah, please. That's right.
Let me just, because it's pretty easy. You just got to search one website.
While you're doing that, it's worth connecting this to what Tucker Carlson did at the end of last week, which was come on and basically call Hurricane Ian and hurricanes in general a scam that people were onto, which is literally just that Simpsons meme of old man yells at cloud. Like, it's just the weather is disagreeing with his politics and making his belief that climate change is overrated look bad. And so he's just saying the big hurricane's trying to trick you with with these storm surges. But this is kind of a longstanding trend on the right. It's a longstanding trend just generally where conspiracy theorists believe that the government is controlling the weather. Mm-hmm. And then there are, of course, even older ones that claim the Rothschilds are controlling the weather, of course. But they claim that it's being hyped up by the media. Trump, I think, bought into the whole idea so whole hog that he repeatedly kept asking officials if China had a hurricane gun to send hurricanes to the U.S. This is a direct quote from somebody who worked in his administration. I was present once when he asked if China made hurricanes to send to us and wanted to know if the technology existed. One guy in the room responded, "Not to the best of my knowledge, sir. I kept it together until I got back to my office." I don't know where the then president would have heard about that. Which he makes it sound like, I don't know how he found out about that, but I'm pretty sure he was asking about it around the time, maybe a little before he asked about people nuking hurricanes. So that's, and then Rush Limbaugh, of course, went through this whole, basically the same thing, same exact thing we're talking about, where he's like, this hurricane everybody's complaining about and worried about is, you know, being overhyped. And he was doing that from Florida. And his theory was that the hurricane was cooked up by battery companies.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
water. Oh, so people bottled buy water fucking and batteries?
Battery companies.
The classic emergency supplies. They're in, baby. They are coming after you with weather. They are gonna. I mean, they've taken Florida with storms. They're taking us with earthquakes. Who's next? Is anybody safe out there?
Right. The idea, I mean, claiming that it's battery companies also, because you do need batteries when the power goes down. So it really does suggest that the hurricane itself and the actual damage it causes is part of a conspiracy. So I can see where Trump got his idea. But this movement on the right is actually killing people because following that, following this blowing up and being, you know, said by Rush Limbaugh, a poll found that for the first time, whether people evacuated before the storm was a political issue. 34% of Floridians who likely voted for President Trump in the 2015 election evacuated before Irma hit, compared to 45% of Clinton voters. And there had never been a gap like that before. In 2016, 2017.
It makes sense to just downplay hurricanes, too, because it's the most violent, tangible example of just weather, an anomaly, anomalous weather, which helps, obviously, you know, gird the arguments of the world is storms are going to get fucking more frequent or worse. And obviously there's, you know, there's a lot of nuance to the effects of climate change with hurricanes and things like that, that it's, you know, you're not always saying it's a direct line and kind of scientists, it's a multi-factor thing. But I think that's really one of those things that you can look out your window, no matter what your political ideology, and be like, this is fucked up and scary.
Right.
And if, And it's probably, and then you pick your poison, right? You can, it's like, it's the same thing. If you don't have a job, you can turn on the news and one group will say it's these fucking immigrants is the reason why you don't have a job. And other people might say, oh, it's actually because of corporate greed or whatever. Well, no, I don't think any, most news outlets aren't saying anything like that, but you know what I mean? Like just with a, something like a hurricane, you can either say it's nothing, don't worry about it. Or you can say, yeah, this is something to take seriously because it's only going to get worse and it's something worth knowing about. And if you're not ready to confront that reality, fuck yeah, you're going to ride with the people don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You would think people who are like super, especially people who are like Trump supporters that are not as financially advantaged, who just bought into it, especially when they already got to see it once with the Capitol riots where, you know, people who got arrested realize they're not getting pardoned or they're not getting away with, you know, they're like certain people are getting in trouble for that. You would think that would put some kind of distance for them or at least give them a second to be like, well, maybe if I do something, I'm not protected. And so it kind of, you would think for something like, again, as objective as the weather would have them wake up with that of rather being like, well, no, this is a conspiracy. We're going to ride it out. I mean, truly, if you're if you grew up in Florida and you've been there a long time, you know, hurricanes are no fucking joke. There are, you know, usually every couple of years, it's mostly false alarms. Like I said, like you kind of, but every couple of years, a real one will come and humble you. And so they've definitely lived through them before. That's the thing. It's not like it's a group of people who just got to town.
Right. But I think, but now we live in a world, right, where logic looks like you're a lib.
You know?
Oh, you're using logic? You fucking lib? Watch this. I'm so tough that nature can't fuck with me. That's the version of the world I'm living in now, not the one where, you know, all the town officials, including the mayor, who's also a Republican, saying, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this as like, well, I can't join the people who listen to the scientists. Because this is now like you're saying, it's become a political act. And but it's also part of like this whole trend you see of like people in certain pockets of the country who before were climate change deniers, like there are parts of North Carolina where people who are living like on the coastal regions of North Carolina were like, yeah, fucking climate change. And now they're like, this is fucking for real. Like this is serious shit. Farmers are another group, too, that have been like, fucking droughts are fucking for real. Like this is fucked up. And I think. Yeah, so this is, I'm sure, part of a very effective way to just say, you know, you got to make this shit seem as not big of an issue as possible. Same with COVID, same with any other large scale threat, same with inequality, same with like rampant CEO fucking piracy, like all that shit. It's just like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And like a guy lit himself on fire and they downplayed that. Remember, there was a guy who like, literally self-immolated. Yeah, it's like, exactly. And it's like people... Literally, like, I feel like once a week now, somebody goes, like, first reformed mode and, like, really does something like that. And then it gets downplayed or there's a group that's like, well, we're not going to be the silent minority anymore when they're not the minority. You know, that kind of thing happens.
Right.
It's terrible.
Anything to feel like a victim. Limbaugh did, by the way, in that from the very same storm that he was claiming was a hoax, he did evacuate. And then when he came back on the air... He changed his ways and became a climate change advocate. Nope. No, actually. He just, just like with the, you know, January 6th being great evidence for anybody who wanted to recognize like that there are consequences, that there can be consequences in the U.S. They just kind of adjust their capacity to believe wild shit rather than change what they think is true.
Of course.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and kind of staying on the same theme. This is a themed episode
Yeah. Of
just people with an entire portion of the country with their head firmly up their own ass. Let's talk Newt Gingrich, because he's... I feel like he got an assignment. Like somebody slid him an envelope with Fetterman's picture on it, and they were like, "Take him down." And he's
take
like,
him down,
"I
dude.
I don't know what internet is, but all right, let's do this."
Everyone loves your big giant head. They know it's all filled with wisdom. Now go spew this forth. We talked about this for a while. So Newt Gingrich is really on one right now. I mean, he's always on some bullshit, but the last couple weeks is like really peak old white guy shit. He hasn't stopped trying to get the story that John Fetterman is a Crip to stick. Like, he just can't give this up. He tweeted about it once. He started talking about it on TV. First, he was trying to be like, oh, is he what? First, he learned what the song Hurt by Nine Inch Nails was. And then he pivoted to be like, It's about heroin, so he's either a heroin addict or he's also in the Crips. If you know, there's a Free Beacon report, and we talked about this report last week, where essentially he used this like different like colloquial like spelling of Braddock, the town he was in, that the Crips would use with two C's versus a C and a K, and he was doing that like very intentionally to acknowledge that there were two different towns, that he was like versions of the same town he was speaking to. He said that like 7 years ago, and they brought it up again. Newt Gingrich is back, and he's still wanting to say the dumbest shit. And the way he's saying it, he's acting like he's dropping a fucking bomb, even though this is the most tired fucking attack we've heard. Here he goes again, saying that John Fetterman is probably a Crip.
I mean, these people verge on being sick. In the case of Fetterman, of course, he apparently had a tattoo that was either a reference to a song in favor of heroin use or was a tribute to the Crips, which is a Los Angeles-based, very violent gang, which actually was in Fetterman's hometown and which worked with Fetterman in his election. So...
I mean, I think everybody knows that this, of course, means that Johnny Cash was a Crip because
yeah, that's what I was, that was so, my jumping off point.
Yeah,
yeah.
The original.
If he sang the lyrics, I mean, that is the lyrical content that Newt Gingrich is equating with
how do you pivot from hurt? Either means you're on heroin or you're Crip,
right?
I don't understand.
He saying the same the hurt quote. That he has tattooed.
He said it's either. He's unequivocal here. I'll play it again.
He had a tattoo that was either a reference to a song in favor of heroin use or was a tribute to the Crips, which is a
Los Angeles. Yeah.
I don't understand.
So it's an either or situation. We have only two options here of what that could mean.
It's either that he's worshiping heroin or it's a tribute to the Crips.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like the thing was like, I blasted some bloods today, like, to hold down my set. Right. Like, what are you talking about?
I think we need that.
Well, I would love to know when he was reading it, he was like, he's like looking with like his little Homer Simpson half glasses.
Right.
And he's
which are normal
like,
size glasses, but on his head, they look like they're tiny right. little glasses.
Right, right. Yeah. They're almost like monocles connected together. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, this is about heroin. And then I want to know at what point does it pivot where he's like, this could be about
Crips,
gangs.
Actually. Yeah.
What is going, interesting. And then his wife just, you know, like the demon comes into the room, slithers in and is like, what are you looking at there, honey? And they just start going, they're like going back and forth, just having a real lively discussion about heroin or gang warfare.
I mean, it might be effective because what's true is that Dr. Oz has been closing the gap.
Yeah.
Tightening it up. He went from.
Oh, you're right.
So he went from 10, like Fetterman was 10 points up on him and now it's 6. He's still ahead, but still, like, it's tightening. And I don't know if, like, they're, like, some consultant is like, keep hitting the Fetterman Crip thing, man. Keep hitting that thing.
Well, I just realized November. Something. It literally just hit me like a ton of bricks. During Gingrich's time, like, when he was really, like, if my math is right here, back when, like, at the height of Nine Inch Nails and at the height of, like, gangs having a reputation, you know, the blue bandana and the red bandana. Weren't those around the same time?
Yeah, yeah. Downward being Spiral's 94, like the 92 riots and stuff. And he, definitely
he's frozen so in clearly, time. Yeah.
Yeah,
when,
his brain is just like, okay.
Fame.
Right. So he's just like, what can I get from this era?
He's
that
like,
I
we've got earthquakes in Northridge, California. It's just a mess right now. You're like, what?
Yeah, it's just it's terrible. Hurricane Andrew, 2 years ago, you think we would have learned something. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, when is Jurassic Park going to come out on VHS?
Right.
It's been over a year and a half now.
At least Biden's mind is frozen in amber to a time that like is like quaint.
Like a fantasy world.
it's like what's that movie where there's like no color and the color bleeds back in?
Oh, Pleasantville.
Pleasantville. Yeah, that's where
you
Biden
mean like no people of color?
Of yeah, yeah, yeah.
That movie too? I remember that. I was like, I remember being in that movie and being like, yo, what the fuck? I'm like, I gotta go. This is fucked up.
Yeah, that was the first movie I ever equated as being like, you know, they all started turning to color when they started fucking. And I'm like, oh, being horny is not such a bad thing after all.
Yeah.
That was when 13-year-old Eli learned his lesson.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it really is interesting, like, of just to watch someone who is so ignorant of gang culture or even like sub 70-year-old culture.
Right.
That, and like, it's like he's trying to make fetch happen, like in Mean Girls. It's like, fool, stop with this Fetterman Crip nonsense. Like,
it's the cliche of like every rich Republican being like, well, it's one of those gangs. It's just one of those gangs you got to be careful for. It's like the.
Because you know, Democrats, they hang out with black people, and that means gangs. Like, what?
You got to be careful.
What are you talking? It's the same thing when like he had these like people that were wrongly convicted. Like working on his campaign, they're like, he's got murderers working from like wrongly fucking convicted, you asshat. What are you saying?
Well, they're saying it's wrongly convicted. We think they were rightfully convicted.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like their argument usually.
Even though the evidence suggests otherwise. But, right. You know, I'm curious, maybe like Newt Gingrich is working on like a whole book about gang culture. And he's like, oh, wait till you see my newest thing. Or like, or he'll use the logic. He's like, John Fetterman, if he's in Philadelphia, he won't wear a Phillies hat. Why is that? Because the Piru Bloods wear that hat, and he is a Crip, and he would be, he's not going to be set tripping. You're like, what the fuck, bro?
Clearly someone else is writing for him.
Yeah, like somebody did a Wikipedia search of like gang hats.
Eli, truly a pleasure having you back as always.
Guys, likewise, I can say exactly the same thing. So happy to be back. Hope to come back again. It's always a blast talking with you guys.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
At Eli Olsberg on all the socials. I will be bringing back soon my other podcast, Closure, the podcast that never ends, closer to the new year. And I will be on the road a little bit. I'm ironing out those dates right now. I think by the end of next week, I should have them. And of course, if you're in LA, come to the Pleasure Chest second Tuesday of every month. I host a wonderful stand-up show at a sex shop with great comics on it. And the next one on October 11th is going to have a great special guest that I cannot announce yet.
Amazing. Okay. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I just recently read an article. You can go to a website called bloodknife.com. The author is Raquel Benedict, and it's called Everyone is Beautiful and No One is Horny, and is about the desexualization of like superhero movies. And it floated a while back ago, and I never got around to reading it. And then I did, and I kind of forgot about it for a little while, and I just recently came across it again in some stuff I was sharing to a friend, and I was like, I reread it, and I'm like, this is an incredible piece of, I think this like everyone should read it. So highly recommend everyone to go read that very, very detailed and wonderfully written essay.
Yeah, we rarely like talk about a think piece on this show and are like, this is fucking brilliant. But that one we did like a whole thing on because it was so
good. Oh, great. Oh, that's so awesome. Okay. Yeah, I know it's a little bit older, but I still feel like with stuff like that, because things are so accessible now, that I still feel like there are so many people who haven't read it. You know,
you need to tell people like 20 times before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, all right, asshole. Yeah. I'll check this thing out. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man, I am on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. What else do I know? You can also find us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's our basketball podcast. The season is about to start and the takes are riveting. Also, check me out on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. Some tweets that I'm liking. First one is from at Robbie Pierce tweeted, I'm sorry, but if you teach your kids to hate, I'm going to teach them to disobey you. Which is a very interesting way, like, yeah, I could fuck with you right back. And then also Leia J at Leia J O S P E tweeted, when a man smokes a vape, that's his binky.
That's right.
Quick question. For. Can I also I did screenshot a tweet that I did want to share. Would that be okay to drop? Okay, cool. This one's from cat_Beltane. Every 2 to 3 months, there's some scandal about a guy named like Dacry Dan, who I've never heard of. And I looked him up and it's like Dacry Dan is an American YouTube personality. He's worth $46.3 million, $15 million of which came from becoming the spokesman for the food almonds in 2018.
Top notch. That's good. Tweet I've been enjoying. Michael Swaim tweeted, pro tip, Nosferatu is what you call a vampire familiar. If it's a vampire you haven't met before, it's preferable to use Nosferatu stead. Michael Swaim, go find him on many, many great podcasts, including One Upsmanship on this very network. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Man, I'm still on that Afro-Latino kick right now. This is a group, a Brooklyn-based Afro-Latin group called La Mecánica Popular. And this is a track called Mótame en la Tormenta. And it's, from what I'm hearing, and I don't know if that means Riders on the Storm, but what I'm hearing is like a Latin version of Riders on the Storm by The Doors. Like the keyboard is the same, the chord progression is the same. They definitely switched it up a little bit, so it's got its own flavor, but the texture, like the way they recorded it, sounds like it's like if the most interesting man was actually like an interesting guy and not just like a fucking cliche beer commercial, he would probably be listening to this shit. So check this out. This is Motame en la Tormenta by La Mecánica Popular, and put that in yours.
We'll link off to it in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.